Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Corporate Greg is not here. He's working from home. Raj is here.
Is he working from
home? I mean, ish.
He texted me once. I don't know if that's working from home.
I think he told me we're supposed to have Albert Breer on to talk about Brady. Albert Breer was from Boston, covered Brady for a long time. He is the guy at the MMQB.com. He's the big man there. And he's like, Breer said he'd do the show. He just didn't tell me what time. So, see, this is, Raj, I'm going to start the show here.
Right.
I'm going to peel the curtain back. Raj, I've worked with you. You know, I've worked with Mike Pearson before.
Sure.
I've worked with Bergman before.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I worked with Bergman back in the day when he was a young Greg Bergman,
mm-hmm.
before he was corporate Greg or even the producer of Mason Ireland, you know, he was a good producer who you could talk to on the air. He never had to book guests for me because I used to work in the middle of the night when I worked with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you are a man of all traits. You know what I'm saying? You can get me the guest.
Sure.
I tell you, get me this dude is on.
Right, right.
You could be on the air. We have fun.
Sure.
Bergman, you are one-trick pony, man.
Oh, leave that man alone.
You are one-trick pony, Bergman. I ask you for people, they ain't even coming on. I got to text people to come on.
You got connections, use them.
I know, but I don't feel like I need to be the guy texting everyone all the damn time.
Yeah, it's a weird look. You're the host.
You know what I'm saying? I know you listening. You better be.
Yeah.
Damn. So anyway. I just wanted to make fun of Greg first, because I've been meaning to do that bit for about a week or two, and I haven't had a chance to, and it just kind of reminded me.
Oh, so you're just going to wait till you're not here to do
well,
it?
Well, because he texts me, like, dog, you got the guest, but you didn't tell me what time he's going to be on? Like, that's going to be hard to pull off. Anyway, Dave McMiniman will also join us. We know what time he's coming.
We got time for him.
11:15. We do have a time for Dave, because the Lakers, which we'll get to in a second, are going to have to quarantine their players because of all this stuff that happened with the Nets. But we'll get to that in a sec. I do want to start with the Brady stuff real quick. And it's interesting to me because the Brady stuff, we're about to find out, at least in the short term and the long term, who was more important to this process in New England. Is it Brady or was it Belichick? Now, it's funny because it reminds me a lot of Shaq and Kobe in this way. In this scenario, Brady is Shaq in the Shaq and Kobe situation because Shaq was older, right? Didn't have as long a shelf life as Kobe. And I know you're going to sit here and say, what are you talking about, Sedano? Belichick's like almost 70 years old or whatever. Right, but you can coach a long time. There ain't no shelf life on coaching. Right? You can coach till you're done coaching. You know, Brady's going to stop playing football in the next couple years. So there is a shelf life. There was a shelf life to Shaq. And I think much like the way Shaq and Kobe played out with the Lakers and their breakup, I think the Patriots' breakup of Brady and Belichick will play out. I think in the short term, Tom Brady, he's going to look nice. He got weapons now. He's got a coach who lets him do whatever he wants, right? Oh, man, it's my system. I don't have to play in this rigid Patriot way style of system. I can do it my way. And Bruce Arians is a quarterback-friendly coach, and he makes all the quarterbacks work from Ben Roethlisberger to Andrew Luck.
Eh, not all of them.
Well, any of them that's good. So let's do that. Any of them is good. So, but he has a history of making guys look good. So, you know, Tommy's excited. Tommy, he went on that dating app. You know what I mean? He was like, all of a sudden, he was getting divorced. He was going to, you know, the bar, the Cougar Bar, and he found himself somebody to hang out with there.
Why you say that dating app? Like, you don't know the name.
Well, there's a bunch of them.
Oh, which ones do you
like? I mean, there's Tinder, right?
Okay, all right.
Is it Bumble?
I don't know. You telling us. You the one. Go
Bumble? On. Laura, is Bumble one?
I did Bumble. It's okay.
Okay, which is better?
I like Bumble because we as women have the control.
Okay, there you go. So there you have it. So it all just depends on which one Tom Brady, if you want to make him the man or the woman in this situation, you know. So he may be Tinder, he may be Bumble. That's why I said that app. I didn't know which one was which. So anyway, he's on that app and he's like, ooh, swipe right. Swipe right on Tampa Bay. I love Bruce Arians and that Kango hat he's wearing. Woo, boy. That's the man I need for me. And that's what happened. So now he woke up the next morning and Bruce Arians sleeping next to him. And he's got Bruce Arians like, ooh, you're so much nicer than Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was so mean. He made me do things his way. I could never do what I wanted to do. And that's it. He's in Tampa now doing whatever he wants to do. And in the short term, it's going to work. Because, you know, Bruce Arians got a lot of toys that Tommy can use. Mike Evans, right? He's got Godwin.
Chris Godwin.
Right.
He would be the, I think Godwin or Evans would be the tallest wide receiver he's ever played. 6 foot five. Never had a 6 foot five wide receiver.
Right. I guess Randy was the tallest guy he played with, right? 6'4".
That was 6'4".
Yeah. So, you know, he's got that. You know, Ronald Jones. I don't know if Ronald Jones is in that category, but, you know, he's fine.
O.J. Howard, decent receiver.
Yeah.
Or tight end.
Tight end, right? Exactly. O.J. Howard is good. You know, they got Peyton Barber. They got two decent running backs there.
Solid offensive line.
Solid offensive line. Good defense.
No, underrated defense. That defense was good. No, I think it was
Todd Bowles.
They were the one that held McCaffrey under his average both times they got to play him. Yep. They are really good run defense, and Todd Bowles has them like a really sneaky good defense.
It's funny you say that, Raj, because if you take out all of Jameis' damn turnovers where they had to be on the other side of the field, the Bucs had one of the better defenses in the league, if you take that away. Because they started on their own side of the field so many times, there's only so much you can do on that end. So you're right.
Well, he did give them a rest with the 6 or 7 pick six where they didn't have to go on the field.
Right.
Let them rest.
He did let them rest there. Yes, that is true. So I do think that there are a lot of things that Tommy's going to look good, much like Shaq. When Shaq left the Lakers, he had shiny Dwayne Wade, right? Woo, shiny Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade's so shiny. He's only in his second season. Woo, he made in his rookie season, he was really good in the playoffs, right? You know, and then he had Pat Riley. Oh, Pat, you know, I know that, you know, you're supposed to be a disciplinarian, but, you know, I'm coming here to bring you a championship. You haven't won one in a long time. So Pat was like, even Pat pulled back the strings. He was like, nah, Shaq, you can do whatever you want that first year. Until we get a championship, you can be you. I'm going to let you be you. Now, you got to be thin, but that's it. But Shaq's like, yeah, I'll be thin. I want to look good. Right? This is new. It's not Phil. He's not making me read books. Right? Like, you know, all that stuff. Like, I'm good. So, it worked. And Shaq got a championship before Kobe did. But, in the long term, Kobe was able not only to tie Shaq, but surpass Shaq. Because Kobe had the faith in the process that the Lakers had, in Dr. Buss and the organization, that because of their track record and their history of success, that they were going to get it right. And Bill Belichick is that. Bill Belichick is that. He is the process. He is the guy with the longer shelf life. He is a combination, actually, of like Kobe and like Dr. Buss in a lot of ways. So I think in the long term, this ain't the last we've seen of the New England Patriots. It may be for the short term. If I were them, we had my buddy Evan Cohen on yesterday, I'd sell off everything. Trade Julian Edelman. Trade Mohamed Sanu. Trade everyone. And, you know, try to figure it out. If you win 4 or 5 games, whatever. It don't matter.
No, and you arm Bill Belichick with a bunch of draft picks.
Right.
They sell those guys off. Give them 1 year. They'll be back in 2021.
But also, let me ask you this. Let's say they sign like Andy Dalton.
Okay.
Who's made the playoffs, right? Like 6 times in his career. If I gave him Andy Dalton and Bill Belichick does Bill Belichick wizardry and magic, would you be surprised if they were like 9-7?
No, that defense is still going to be there.
Right.
Untouched, young, athletic, good defense still there.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. So it's what I'm telling you. Like, I think, and much like Kobe and Phil, right? After that first year was a mess, you know, Phil's back, Kobe's there, all of a sudden they make the playoffs again, right? Little by little, they start building back up until they won championships, back-to-back championships. So in the long term, I think the Patriots are Kobe. And Bill Belichick is Kobe in this scenario. And I think Tommy is Shaq. You know, I don't think Tommy's going to rap, tell me how my bleep tastes, you know? to Bill Belichick, but I do think there's going to be some short-term success there. And that makes a lot of sense. So I'm curious to see how you guys feel about that analogy. Are you feeling me at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776? There is a number of reasons why Tom Brady left the Patriots for the Buccaneers. Our boy Jeff Darlington, who has nailed this story from day one, with the info.
This kind of is because it goes back a little bit to mid-February when the Buccaneers behind the scenes started to realize and recognize that Tom Brady was also serious about entering free agency. Something the sports world couldn't get their minds around, but the Bucs were early in realizing that it was real. So fast forward to this day, and I'm actually not all that surprised.
The sources close to him that I'm familiar with have always indicated that what really, really appealed to Tom Brady right now at this stage of his life is the autonomy that he's never had. The true ability to say, yeah, I'm in charge of me. I'll choose where I wish to be. What ultimately was most important to him as he was making this choice for the first time?
Well, first of all, that's a great point. And I think that the idea that he was running away from something in New England is very true. But at the same time, I think he loved the idea of chasing after something new. And I think both of those things can be true. In that regard, he was looking at a number of different elements here, too. He was looking at trying to be with a coach who is maybe more collaborative, not trying to be the general manager or the offensive coordinator, but just maybe have a little bit more input. Also, wanted a roster that maybe had those offensive weapons to reinvigorate himself. And then two other odd factors maybe to some people: warm weather. He actually liked the idea of warm weather. And the second thing was proximity to New York City for personal reasons and family reasons. So they checked a lot of the boxes in Tampa, and that's when it really, to me, when I started to recognize what he was looking for, was when Tampa really started to make sense.
That warm weather thing, which is why if you think about it, the three teams it came down to were Tampa, L.A., and I guess people are saying Miami. I never bought that for a second. But those make sense, right? They check that warm weather box. You have warm weather in those three cities year-round.
You have warm weather in those cities year-round. There was one thing we had Jim Trotter on earlier today on the morning show.
Oh, okay.
And he said Chargers were 100% in talks with him, and his demands were reasonable. But the one thing they couldn't match up with Tampa Bay is being close to the East Coast where his son lives, being close to a certain place he wanted to travel.
Right.
So the East took the Chargers out of the equation. And that's just something they couldn't do anything about. But
right,
they were reasonable. You don't want to call them demands, but you can say negotiations or whatever, and certain things he had on his list, all reasonable, but you couldn't do anything about geographic.
Yeah, exactly. That stuff matters, you know? And these are the times when you are looking at those situations, right? Like that's what you go and you put into this particular type of decision. So anyway, do you feeling me though on this Kobe Shaq analogy, like with these two?
No, when you first did it, I was like, you said I looked at you a little strange, but as you explained it, yeah, absolutely see it. Short-term success versus long-term success.
Right.
And right now Brady is set up in the short term for sure.
Yeah, I think that's going to be Tommy's kind of thing. Like I think that Tampa could be a Super Bowl contender. Like I think it's legit. Like all of a sudden they're like a 20-1. They went from like 40-1 to like 20-1 to win the Super Bowl.
And word on the street, even my guy Pino hit me up, there's some trade rumors that Tampa Bay isn't done. They're trying to reload, give some more weapons on offense.
I do believe that, though. I have heard the Antonio Brown thing is dead. Like that's not how Bruce Arians already been there, done that, not doing it
not
again.
Not only do you not need it on paper,
right,
but why would you take the off the field risk?
Yeah.
Even I mean, it didn't work in New England, and you see where he wasn't away at. Why is it going to work in Tampa Bay? Don't take that risk. You got two receivers on paper. Don't mess up the locker room.
Yeah, agreed wholeheartedly. So, all right, coming up next, let's get into what's going on with the Lakers and their situation because of playing the Nets. And are the Clippers going to follow suit as well? We'll ask all those questions. We'll talk about some of that coming up on the other side. Plus, there's some interesting fallout from the Bill O'Brien, DeAndre Hopkins trade to the Arizona Cardinals into the Rams division. We'll tell you what that's all about in a second. Sedano Show here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, it's also brought to us by our friends at LinkedIn. Building your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. Our friends at Shell as well. Protect your engine this winter using Pennzoil synthetic motor oil made from natural gas. And, of course, Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Got one more for you. Capital One, 4% cash back on dining, entertainment, and 2% at grocery stores, 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? All right, we got all that out of the way. Now we can talk.
Take care of business.
Yeah. So if you didn't catch this for whatever reason yesterday, our Dave McMiniman reported, and Dave's going to join us in an hour, that after the Nets tested positive, now we know four Nets players, AJ Wojnarowski reported this first, that four players on the Nets, including Kevin Durant, tested positive for COVID-19, the coronavirus. And think about it. The Nets were on a West Coast swing. So they played the Lakers, the Warriors, the Clippers, and a couple of other teams in there. And Dave reported that the Lakers are going to test their players and they're going to basically self-quarantine for the next 14 days or whatever it is. So this thing, again, is to be taken very seriously. And I think Kevin Durant, to his credit, much like Donovan Mitchell did the right thing in expressing to people, hey, I've got it. I don't have any symptoms. So again, just because you don't have any symptoms, don't mean you don't got it. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to understand, which is why it's important to self-quarantine, which is why it's important to, do social distancing and all that stuff. That stuff is very important. And I'll tell you this. Now, there are plenty of other cities that they're acting a fool. This is not one of them.
Your city.
Not mine. Tampa. That's Clearwater is a different. I'm telling you, I ain't claiming them.
That's your family, man. No, that's yours.
No, they are 250 miles away. That's like saying, I don't know.
San Francisco and
Fresno. You know what I'm saying?
No, Fresno.
Yeah, Fresno ain't LA. You know what I'm saying? So they acting a fool over there. They want to act a fool. That's fine. I explained this to Greg yesterday. It's kind of like, Fresno's a little different than LA. You know what I mean? So people think a little differently, take things a little less seriously or more seriously, depending on what it is. But anyway, I am very proud of the people in this city and this general area that they are taking this very seriously. Because, and I can tell just based on how quickly I get to work, because we are here trying to, provide an escape and help you and talk some sports and have some fun. Clearly y'all are taking this serious, and we all should appreciate that. You should all appreciate each other as just kind of members of the community.
I can tell the traffic is less because you got here before 9:45 today.
Right,
that's pretty good for you.
That is good for me. I like to sit in the garage sometimes. I'm firing off emails.
You're prepared. As long as you're prepped, it don't matter, man. Yeah. You're coming ready to go.
but so the Lakers are taking precaution, as they should, and good on them. I haven't heard word if the Clippers are taking any precautions. My guess is they might be. I don't know. I don't think at least I haven't heard that they have or have not. Maybe we should ask Ohm. I'll text him. And what we need to do? We need to find like the Jeopardy music or something. So if I have to text someone in the middle of the show, like, it just gives you, a little heads up. Like, hey, I'm still here, and I'm going to talk to you, but I got to text somebody. So that way we can get you the most pertinent information at the most opportune times. So, we can just have it ready, if necessary. We might need to do that. In times like this, we're doing what we can to get you the most information as quickly as possible. So, yeah, this will work. I think this is Wheel of Fortune, or is it Jeopardy? Hey, what's Jeopardy? I don't know.
I don't know. She had to remix or something.
Yeah, it sounded like a remix. That is a great way.
I blame whoever put it in the system.
So anyway, so that's that. So we'll talk to Dave more about that in a little bit. But in the interim, I told you that the Bill O'Brien trade of DeAndre Hopkins was weird, right? Like, I was like, yo, for real? Like, they traded DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of peanuts? Like,
remember I was saying, Key was telling you this, right? I don't know if you heard it when I text the group, hey, Hopkins to the card. He was like, no, David Johnson is going to the Texans. I was like, no, you didn't read the fine print. The headline, which is the Hopkins. Like, no, they wouldn't do that. That's dumb. And I was like, man, they gave it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And guess what? It's only a second round pick included, yeah. Next year or fourth. And he's like, no way. So crazy.
Yeah. Well, I always love how Key's initial reaction to anything is no.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, no, nothing to see here.
Well, he honestly thought, for David Johnson's second, no, that's crazy. No way. But, right. So the immediate reaction from us, or at least I was like, there was something going on. There was beef. And then sure enough.
And there was, right. So Michael Irvin went on Get Up this morning and explained the beef between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins.
But of course, you know, I just couldn't rest my mind on it. I called him again 24 hours later, like late yesterday. And then he was willing to talk more. And I said, tell me what happened in Houston. And he went into it. He told me, he said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there because Bill O'Brien thought, Coach O'Brien thought he had too much influence over the locker room. He called DeAndre Hopkins in a meeting to talk about this and to kind of, I guess, hash it out. In that meeting, he started the meeting with telling DeAndre Hopkins this that blew my mind when DeAndre told me this. He told DeAndre Hopkins, hey, the last time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez. I was like, what? He put in Aaron Hernandez in this meeting? He said, yes, he did. He said, Michael, that blew my mind that he would even bring that up. I've never been in any trouble. I don't know why would he equate me with Aaron Hernandez. And from there, the meeting just deteriorated. You know, he got into talking about DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins has a few kids and from different women. And he said, you know, he told DeAndre he doesn't like that he has his baby mamas around sometimes. And from that, I think the relationship just went bad. And thus, we got a trade of DeAndre Hopkins from Houston for basically, like I said earlier, a ham sandwich, all because of that relationship.
Wow. Marcus, what are your thoughts?
All right, then they asked Marcus Spears. We just want to hear
it's
the
disrespectful
mic.
To David Johnson. I know he's had a bad season, but dang, a ham sandwich? Come on, man. Yeah. David Johnson might be listening to the show right now. Listening to Sedano's show.
Yeah, he may be. Sorry, David. That's Michael, though. I mean, you aren't as good as you used to be, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't calling you a ham sandwich. It's a little different. I'm with you. That's just crazy, though. And here's the thing, man. I've always said this, Raj, and I'm curious to see how you feel about this. Like, I am a firm believer that being the coach and the general manager is one of the hardest things to do because those jobs at times are going to be diametrically opposed, right? The GM is going to, in theory, going to want to look at something a certain way, and the coach will certainly want to look at it a different way. And they want, coach wants right now, and generally general manager wants both, right? Long-term and short-term.
Sure.
And then what happens is if you let ego get in the way, which coaches generally have big egos, more so than general managers, I think that this becomes the problem. Like in the NBA, it doesn't work very often. In the NFL, I mean, Belichick is really the only guy that's really made it work. There's just not
recently,
a lot of examples.
Jimmy Johnson a long time ago,
Jimmy Johnson, right.
Jerry Jones obviously would try and take credit for that.
Right.
But you go to a recent example of this where it did not work, Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And what it did is it split. Fractured that Eagles locker room. And they traded Shady McCoy over to Buffalo, and then you traded a linebacker. I forgot who they traded, someone else for an offensive lineman, guys that were popular in the clubhouse and maybe strong strong personalities, like Michael Irvin was saying, but still, you can fracture a locker room, George, and a team as talented and young as that, and you know, you had Casey on the ropes, and you just go and fracture the locker room like the next season. That's just dangerous.
And at the end of the day, you need talent to win, you dope.
Especially a receiver, like top five receiver.
I mean, at worst, he's a top five receiver. And you gave him away for nothing, especially when Stephon Diggs going for a first rounder. Like, you are a dope, Bill O'Brien. Like, I'm not the guy who likes to name call a lot, but damn, dog, like, there's no other way to describe that.
Well, you mentioned something, ego, and he made that deal probably as a coach and not the GM, and that ego got in the way in a second round. And the same day, Diggs goes for a first rounder plus. Like, come on.
And by the way, if the man wants to bring his kids around and, you know, their mothers just every once in a while to see them.
Well, LZ and I do have a theory on this, though.
What?
And Laura might, I don't know if you can comment on this, but all right, I understand baby mama, but if you have one or two baby mamas, maybe three in the same location, that could lead to baby mama drama.
Sure, I get that, but you know, if they're coming around just so you can see the kids, it's a different
story.
If
you spread them out throughout the stadium, that's fine.
Yeah.
Put one in the north end, one in the west, and some, you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know, in close proximity, man, that could lead to some fireworks.
I mean, ain't nobody talking about Tom Brady got multiple baby mamas, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
I know, and there is that, and that's what Keyshawn got upset about, was the double standard there. He's like, hey, there are people in the front office that have, you know, more than one baby mama
right.
that could be around. Like, why are we getting on him for this?
It's crazy. But, you know, that... So Bill O'Brien's idiocy made it much more difficult for the Rams in this case. So that's the problem now, is that NFC West, which is already the best division in football, became even stronger at this point. All right, coming up next, why did the Chargers and Phillip Rivers really part ways? We'll tell you in just a moment. Stick around. Back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Albert Breer of the MMQB. Covered Tom Brady for a long time in Boston. Will join us in a few minutes. Adam Schefter has broken some news here. We have breaking news. We have a quarterback trade. Jacksonville is trading quarterback Nick Foles to Chicago for the Bears' compensatory fourth-round pick. Sources tell ESPN. Bears coach such as Matt Nagy, the head coach, has worked with Foles in the past and knows him well. So there you have that. So that is the new. I mean, Nick Foles got paid. Good for him.
Got paid, got a ring, but yeah. Now he's on his third team in 3 years.
Yeah, that's how it works sometimes. But, you know, it's why I said it just like all worked out for him. You know what I mean? Like he was just a dude, you know, who everything fell and broke right for him.
Broke right. And by the way, the Texans were listening to the show and have released a statement. They say they claim the DeAndre Hopkins trade was only about money.
Okay.
No beef, just financial reasons, they say, if you believe that.
And DeAndre has said that he has the utmost respect for Bill O'Brien. Like, he tried to squash this real quick.
Yeah.
By the way, the Cowboys have signed Gerald McCoy.
32-year-old Gerald McCoy.
To a three-year deal.
Yeah. We'll see what he has left. I know he had 5 sacks last season, but brought back Sean Lee. I thought he'd be holding a clipboard by now being a coach, but he'll play his normal 8, 6, 7 games a year.
Yeah.
Sean Lee.
Jason Witten to the Raiders. That was yesterday. And, I mean, that's just a leadership position, right?
Like, absolutely.
Seems fairly obvious.
He does his thing. He can run 7 yards, turn around, catch the ball, fall down.
Their tight end was good.
Waller.
Yeah.
He's out of nowhere. He had a troubled pass, really athletic guy, finally got a crack at it. He's in his mid-20s, not like a young guy, but he had a really good season. So
yeah.
Jason will be a blocking back and maybe a red zone threat. He can still, you know, get open in the end zone.
Yeah. Couple of things I want to let people know. I know we run a promo here that talks about the small businesses and just kind of helping out. And if you have a small business, I don't care what it is and what part of town, feel free to call in. Let us know if you're open, what you're doing, if people in your community can help you in any way by, you know, especially if you have like a restaurant business. I know a lot of restaurants are still delivering now and doing things like that. So you can always call in and just let us know. We're gonna try to help the community here. And you can tweet us at Sedano, but you can call in at 877-710-ESPN and just kind of we'll give you a quick, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds to let people know what's up.
However we can help out, man.
Yeah.
A good way to help
just
out.
Let people know what's up. Speaking of Twitter, though, there was something that was on Twitter today that I decided to take part in, and you can go to my Twitter, at Sedano. It asked, what were your name five jobs that you've had. And so it's funny, like, my jobs have varied in a lot of ways. My first job was a karate instructor.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. You know that, Raj. You knew that. That wasn't news to you. But yeah, I used to teach little kids karate. I used to teach adults karate. It's how I made money in high school and college, basically. And then I worked as a courier. A buddy of mine owned a courier business back when, you know, couriers were a thing.
Okay.
You know, we used to drive all around town, dropping stuff off, like from office to office. We used to work for insurance companies back then. Then I worked for a freight forwarder. Do you know what a freight forwarder is?
No, please.
So it's like cargo that goes internationally. So I worked for a company
A smuggler.
Yes, but it was actual legal stuff. I wasn't smuggling. Smuggling connotes that there is improprieties
what's
going
on. What's your nationality again?
Cuban.
Uh-huh.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It connotes that there's something nefarious going on, smuggling, and it wasn't anything nefarious. It was we were sending goods and services to Central America.
Okay.
Real goods and services. Okay, not drugs.
All right, narcos.
Just telling you. I mean, at least to my knowledge. Okay, all I did was set up the plane rides.
Pay the guy.
I didn't pay nobody.
Hey, don't come in on the regular. No. Don't chart this. Don't come in on this airstrip here.
I set up the plane rides on major airline carriers.
You had one of those little, you had to push the propeller like.
No. Two, three. On major airline carriers. Okay, that did cargo. And what else? What else did we do? And, you know, trucks, 18-wheelers on major carriers too.
However you had to get it out there, George, you do it.
I'm telling you, man, it was legit work. I wasn't one of the cocaine cowboys. You know?
I didn't bring up what profession or what you were getting
off. Say, y'all making it seem like that's the case. Then I went into, finally got into radio, board operator, producer, and then eventually a talk show host, reporter, gas bag like now. But anyway. Oh, man. It was legit work, damn it, is all I'm saying. So Albert Breer is going to join us in a second. We're going to take some calls here. We know people are, you know, we're trying to help out people out there who run small businesses. If you got a small business, hit us up, 877-710-ESPN, and let us know what kind of services you got going on that the, you know, people can help you out and, you know, purchase or whatnot. Obviously all on the up and up, right? Especially the way Raj was telling me just a second ago, trying to make fun of me. All right, let me get Dello real quick. What's up, Dello?
Hey, how are you, man? Hi, Sedano. How are you? I'm a first-time caller, and I thought I could advertise my restaurant. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, my restaurant name is Anarbach Beverly Hills. It's an Indian restaurant. So we're open, and we're doing takeouts and deliveries. If you're, you know, listeners, they want to come and have a takeout and deliveries, we're providing this service.
Okay, and Dello, what is the name of the restaurant again?
Anarbag, Anarbagh.
Anarbagh. Okay, Anarbagh in Beverly Hills. So doing takeout, doing delivery. Okay, cool. Thank you for letting us know.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Let me grab Rodney real quick in Bellflower. Rodney, what do you got going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. First time calling, long time listening. Love what you guys are doing this time.
Yes, sir.
So my wife and I run a dance academy. It's called Princess Feet Dance Academy. It runs out of Compton in Linwood. And the schools are closed, so the students aren't coming out because the parents are afraid. Of course, they have reason to, but that's causing our expenses to kind of pile up. And because the stores are hoarded, we can't really get the groceries and things like that. It's been a hassle, but we're trying the best we can. You know?
Okay, and what's the name of the academy again?
Princess Feet Dance Academy.
In Compton. Okay, cool. So we get it out there, and hopefully people can help you out in some way, shape, or form.
Thanks a lot, man.
You got it, man. Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get more of these calls in. Feel free to line them up at 877-710-ESPN. Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, will join us in just a few moments. We will talk to him in 3 minutes about Tom Brady's move from New England to Tampa Bay. He covered Brady for many years. That's next. A little old school there, Laura. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Again, if you have a small business, feel free to call us here in the community at 877-710-ESPN. If you're providing goods and services in some way, shape, or form, restaurants or whatever, because of the situation, we want to make people aware of what you're offering in the particular areas. We just had a couple gentlemen call in from different parts of town explaining what they're offering, delivery service, things of that nature, to allow people to still maintain their business and obviously provide goods and services to their community as well. So 877-710-ESPN will do that. I also started a thread on Twitter for that as well. If you can't call in for whatever reason, but you can get on Twitter and you can tweet me at Sedano. All right, so the big story in sports obviously has been Tom Brady. Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback, one of the best in the business covering the NFL, covered Tom Brady for a very long time. He joins us here. Albert, first and foremost, hope you and the family are safe and sound. I would suppose so, yes?
Yeah, we're good. I mean, other than, you know, having the kids home from school, which one of them is staying on my office door right now. So there are some new challenges definitely involved, but I think we all got to do our best to do our part and try to fight this thing together, stay together, stay inside, stay away from, I guess, stay together as families, but stay away from everybody else, I guess the best way to put it, right?
Yeah, no question about it, man. Absolutely. Yeah. So, we'll get through it together. We just have to be diligent. You know what I'm saying? We've been telling people, like, all the pros have been saying, social distancing. Like here in LA, we're in the studio right now because we got like a skeleton crew. And a lot of people are working from home, including myself, sooner rather than later. But I don't know. I would imagine Boston is very much the same right now, Albert, where it's a ghost town right now. And that's actually a good thing. That's the thing we need.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. When I went in to do my television stuff yesterday, normally we sit at a desk, and it was even to the point where they had us sort of set up. And the studio is not – it's a big room, but it's not a gigantic room. They had us like sort of stationed in different parts of the studio and in a four box, so we weren't breathing on each other. And like radio here, like the guys I do radio with here, they're doing their stuff remotely, and I got a call at like 5:30 this morning not to come in, and that we just do it over the phone. And so everybody's sort of adjusting that way. You know, we've gotten hit hard in a couple different areas up here. And so I think I know California has been one of the, one of the more aggressive about measures. And I know, you know, Massachusetts has been too.
Yeah.
You know, but they banned any gatherings of over 25 people as far, I think it was Sunday that that happened. And school was canceled well into April and all of that. So, you know, I, of course, I think like you, I'm sure, like I support all of that. Anything we can do to, you know, protect our elderly and get through this as fast as we can, we should all be doing.
Absolutely, no question. Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback with us here. So let's talk Brady. Look, you and I have talked about this now for years. You've been coming on the show, and we've been talking about some of the issues within the relationship and the construct there between Belichick and Brady. So I would imagine none of this is a huge, huge surprise to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still, you know, there's obviously still the shock that it's over. You know, it's weird because, I was thinking this actually yesterday. I was, doing a TV segment with, Tom Curran was on it, who's covered the Patriots forever. I'm sure you're familiar with him. And
yeah.
Ted Johnson, who was a linebacker for the Patriots. And, we're sitting there, and it just sort of hit me like the guy's affected all of our careers. You know what I mean? Like he's affected so many people's careers. Like everybody who's been around him for the last 20 years has probably been affected one way or the other. And so when somebody like that, decides he's leaving, there's obviously, I think, a little bit of like, wow, like it actually happened. But certainly I think the pieces of, the wheels have been in motion on this for a while. And, you know, it goes back to the refusal to the Patriots to give him guaranteed future years last summer. I don't think it was the money that made him angry. It was more kind of making him go to year. And then, clearly in the season, he was frustrated individually with what was put around him. And, it wasn't just, that the team maybe wasn't as good. It was affecting his personal, his individual performance as well. And so, I think a lot of the things that had sort of bubbled under the surface for the last couple of years kind of resurfaced. And, in the end, I think over the last week, what you saw was, Brady finally coming to the conclusion, I'm not going to go back and beg for my job. I accomplished enough where I deserve more than that. There were a couple of teams that, I think gave him the sort of, the sort of recruitment that New England never did.
Yeah, no, for sure. And look, it's no different than when like a franchise, right? Like goes and fires a coach, like they go from one extreme to the other personality wise. Tom went from one extreme to the other personality wise. Bruce Arians is way more collaborative, right? Like he certainly has a penchant to coaching quarterbacks a certain way. And most guys really like working with him in that capacity. So I think that that's just what he sought. He sought something that was going to be more collaborative and something that was more appealing to him at this stage of his career.
Yeah, and I think that there were a number of factors in play. But one was, like you said, collaborative. And Bruce has sort of taken a step back the last few years, the end in Arizona, now in Tampa, where he's more of a CEO type of coach. That's reflected in the fact that he's not calling plays anymore. Byron Leftwich, the guy who is calling plays, has only been doing it for a little over a year. And so there's going to be some built-in flexibility where he'll have a say in the way the offense runs. The skill position talent, of course, speaks for itself. And you have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard and Cam Brait. You're going to have people to throw to a good offensive line in front of you. And then I think proximity to New York did matter. And this is something I've sort of, wrote about and talked about for the last few weeks. But he's got a son who lives in New York. His immediate family, they're planning on moving to New York. That's probably where he's going to be long-term. And I know Tampa's not that close to New York, but if you're flying private, not that you or I would know this, but if you're flying private, I think like Tampa to New York's probably manageable on an off day if you really want to do it. Whereas, if he was going out to the West Coast, I think that would have been a lot tougher. And so I think all those factors sort of came into play, and you add that to the fact that they really wanted him, and they came after him with both barrels on Monday and into Tuesday, and it just sort of all added up.
Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback with us here. And look, the reality is he has nothing left to prove. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants to do as a free agent.
Yeah, and I don't think, and I think that was part of it too. I mean, I look, like, you know what, there were people in that organization, I'm telling you, like high levels of that organization, you know, as recently as Monday, you know, 2 days ago, that we're still hoping that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and maybe Robert Kraft were all going to sit together in a room and just hash it out, you know, and this is what's happened in the past. So, like, we're all going to sit together, we're going to hash it out, we're going to realize we're what's best for one another. The problem was that, you know, Belichick on that phone call a couple of weeks ago, basically, you know, treated it like any other player transaction. And, like, more power to him, because that's worked for him for two decades at an unprecedentedly high level, right? And so, you know, Brady seeing that kind of only further cemented the idea that they weren't on the same page. And, you know, then it sort of gets out there, oh, well, the Patriots want Brady to come to them and tell them what he wants. And I think Brady sort of looked at that and the idea of that, just said to himself, I'm not going back in there and begging for my job. And you can understand why a guy who has accomplished as much as he has wouldn't want to do that. And so rather than going and seeing Belichick, he went and saw Robert Kraft on Monday night. He didn't do it to talk about a contract. He did it to say goodbye. And that really, I think, is it. You know, it's just, to me, I you know, you look at every single piece of this, and it's just, you know, I think at some point, you know, he he's been willing to take less money. He's been willing to take hard coaching. He's enabled so many things within that program. You know, I think at some point, any person would want a little love and would want to be courted a little bit. When that didn't happen, I think, you know, there was sort of just, you know, the hell with this. Like, I can go someplace where, you know, I'm going to be treated a little bit differently. And look, I think he appreciates everything about New England and the way the program's, you know, run, and in a lot of ways embodies it. But it just sort of felt like at the end, at least from the people I was talking to, that he was ready for a change.
Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback joining us here. So what has he got in Tampa? Like, what are they? Do you look at them as a legit contender right now?
Well, you know, we don't know what he has left. Now, I think he can still play, but I know that he's going to, you know, be the Tom Brady that he was, you know, 2-3 years ago, when Gronkowski was healthy and when Edelman was firing on all cylinders. And, you know, do I know that he's going to be that player again? No, I don't. You know, I just, it's so unpredictable. And, you know, I think that was sort of part of what got him a little incensed was, you know, to hear the Patriots talk about, you know, going into uncharted territory. It's easy for us to say that, and I will say that. We're in uncharted territory. But if you have to hear that from your own bosses, and you're the guy who is responsible for, I mean, literally making this franchise one of the most, like, valuable sports franchises in the world, it's going to hit you a little different, you know? I don't think you're going to take that well if you're that guy. You know, it's, the height to which he took that franchise is incredible. If you think about it, like, they're the seventh most valuable franchise in the world, behind Manchester United, ahead of the Lakers, which is, for somebody who grew up there, it's really hard to fathom. You know, so when you've accomplished what he's accomplished, I just, you know, I think there is a part of this where it's, you know, like you're talking about uncharted territory. You're unwilling to commit to me long term. Isn't there some sort of give back for everything that I've given you? And, you know, as disciplined as the Patriots are, that just wasn't coming.
Right, right. And, look, I look at this as there could be more short-term success for Tom just because time isn't on his side, even though he'll try to make us believe it's longer than we think. As you alluded to, I don't know how much he's got left necessarily. But Belichick can coach for longer, certainly, than he can play. So I would bet that, you know, Tom has some short-term success, and the Patriots still have some long-term success. But the question is, what will they do at quarterback moving forward, in your estimation?
Yeah. Well, and that's part of it, too. I mean, like, you know, if you're Brady and you're going to the Bucs, part of the pitch there is they're going to be all in for you. So maybe they go sign Antonio Brown. Maybe you're able to attract some people that you wouldn't otherwise be able to attract because you're kind of become this win-now destination. And I don't think the Patriots were ever going to really veer too far from the way they've always done business. They weren't suddenly going to be doing, you know, throwing money around and being in win now mode. It's just, you know, it's not the way that they were built. It's not the way they operate. And
So, you know, I think Brady gets that with Tampa, which is great for him because he's probably looking at a 2-year window. So the time has to be now. You know, as for the Patriots, I think they're just, I think they're going to be patient. I think their economics at the quarterback position change now. And, you know, I think for right now, they give Jared Stidham a chance to compete. They wait for the veteran quarterback market to shake out. And they look for a bargain maybe on the back end. Whoever that is, that economical veteran, he comes in and competes with Stidham. Maybe they draft another one. And they just sort of start pulling levers and trying to get as many shots as they can at getting the quarterback position right. And then, you know, once they get past this year, which, you know, they're still carrying $13.5 million in dead money off of Brady's contract, now you start to have the advantage that the Chiefs and the Eagles and the Rams and all these teams that have drafted quarterbacks over the last year, few years have had, which if you got a cheap quarterback, you can build your roster a little bit differently. You can be a little bit more aggressive. And so that, to me, would be the light at the end of the tunnel for the Patriots. I don't think you're going to see any big swing to replace Brady. I think you'll see them take multiple shots at it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jared Stidham winds up being the week one starter.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Check out his work there, of course. Hey, man, thanks for the time. As always, appreciate it. Stay healthy, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, stay safe, George. Appreciate it.
You got it. There it is. Albert Breer. That man covered Tom Brady's entire career, so he knows what the hell he's talking about with that organization. All right, we're going to get back to your calls in a bit. I want to talk to people out there. If you didn't hear what we were doing earlier, if you've got a small business out there and you're providing goods and services and you want the community to know, hit us up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Dave McMiniman is set to join us at 11:15 on the latest on the Lakers situation as they are going to be in quarantine. Plus, I didn't get to this earlier. What really went down between the Chargers and Phillip Rivers? We'll tell you what that is in just a moment. Stick around. Back in a couple minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN.